Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 4:53 p.m. and that is Eastern Summer Time. And today is April 25th. Well, today we had a lot of variability in terms of the earnings that were coming out. The industrial sector took a serious hit. 3M, for example, was down in the order of about 13% in here. This was a very significant failure at the upper side of this range that's been developing over the last year. And this does not look like a bullish chart. Then, of course, we also had UPS. Well, UPS is often considered to be a barometer for global growth. And the share was also in negative territory in here today. Now there's a sequence of lower rally highs, and we can also see that there's a preponderance of downward dynamics since the peak posted back at the beginning of 2018. So again, this is not a particularly bullish looking chart either. But that doesn't mean that there weren't positive outcomes. Microsoft and Facebook reported really quite impressive earnings right after the close yesterday. So they were leading in terms of stock market performance in here today. So Microsoft continues to extend its advance. Now, there is a short-term overbought condition in here. So I think that there is a clear risk that we're going to get at least some consolidation. But what this also helps to highlight is that the technology sector remains very clearly a leader. It also highlights the fact that the industrial sector was perhaps most affected by the tightening of global liquidity that occurred in 2018. That translated into the rather disappointing earnings that they've seen in the first quarter of this year. One thing, though, that we are starting to see is that the Federal Reserve is starting to put in place the foundations for the argument they're going to make in future about how to ease policy further. I saw this graphic in here today, and I thought it was particularly interesting because what it very clearly highlights is that the Federal Reserve is tinkering with the way it reports inflation. Now, if they move from a reported figure to an average figure, then they're going to be able to say that inflation hasn't breached the 2% target at any point since 2009. And that's a clear rationale for easier monetary policy. Well, that has not had much of an effect to date on the dollar, because this is not simply a rationale that the Federal Reserve is engaging in. This underreporting of inflation is something that we see right across the boards. The dollar index has broken out to new recovery highs. It has been ranging for most of the last 9 months, and this is a reassertion of the medium-term demand-dominated environment. I think it is really the base case at this stage that we're going to see it push back up towards the 100 level. The euro broke down yesterday, and it was also in negative territory in here today. So it is coming down towards this $1.11 area, and that represents the next area of potential support. But having broken below the 112 region, which had offered support all the way back from November, this is a meaningful breakdown. The merger between Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank has gone up in smoke. So it is looking quite unlikely that they are going to benefit from any kind of consolidation. Well, Deutsche Bank has at least stabilized, but this is still a downtrend. It is going to have to at least sustain a move back above the trend mean in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. When we also think about why was it that the merger failed? Well, one reason is because neither are particularly attractive in their own right. So merging two very weak operators, which would lead to a very significant consolidation of the banking sector in Germany, wasn't really politically palatable. Then the preference of the ECB and the European Commission, more accurately, would have been for a more of something approaching a pan-European merger to perhaps link up with one of the stronger French banks. And that hasn't come to fruition yet either, but that may yet be a potential outcome. Certainly, we can see that Commerzbank has been doing better. And if we just simply zoom in on the last year, it has held a progression of higher reaction lows over the course of the last 4 months. As long as it's continuing to do that, perhaps we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But the reality is that Europe isn't going to be raising rates anytime soon, and they're quite likely to engage in additional quantitative easing. And I do think that that is also quite a likely scenario when we think about the outlook for Wall Street. Well, when we think about, for example, the Dow Jones today, where we had a very significant deterioration in 3M, but which was really close to countermanded by the impressive moves by Microsoft. Well, we can also think about the S&P 500. It's right in the region of its all-time peak. And it hasn't quite surmounted it yet, and it was down just 1 point in here today, but there's still a progression of higher reaction lows. There is certainly a short-term overbought condition relative to the trend mean, so there is a risk of some consolidation in the region of these peaks. But the other point, of course, is that when we think about what has been the animating force behind this bull market over the course of the last decade, it has been liquidity fueled, and that liquidity fuel is still very much in place. And with the Federal Reserve beginning to tinker with the way that it reports inflation, then that's a clear signal that they are readying themselves for additional stimulative measures should they be required. They are essentially putting in the foundation so that they can look back on the figures that they are now putting together and say, well, this is why we are justifying additional monetary stimulus today. That is the kind of environment where we get, generally speaking, some interest in gold, where inflation is quite evident but is being underreported, and that was exactly the kind of condition that we had right at the beginning of the gold bull market back in 2001. Well, I think it's quite likely we're going to get some kind of repeat in terms of that, but that's obviously going to be dependent on the gold price finding support in the region of $1,276, where it is right at the moment. This is just about coinciding with the trend mean. If it finds support in this area, well, then that will be really quite a bullish outcome. Now, when we think about silver, silver had broken below the psychological $15 level, and it has steadied somewhat, but it's going to have to do more than that. It's going to have to clearly sustain a move back above $15 in order to break the sequence of lower rally highs and confirm support in the region of the upper side of the base formation. One of the, I think, other rather interesting developments that we had in here in the commodity sector in here today was in lumber, where we had clear upside follow-through on yesterday's key day reversal. So that is now confirming a low of near-term significance. And certainly there is support coming in around the $300 area. Now, also when we think about the oil price, well, oil has been trending in a very consistent manner over the course of the last 5 months. And when we think about what we can anticipate next, well, it was briefly above the $75 area in here today, but it wasn't quite able to hold it. There is obviously some potential for a pause, particularly in view of the rather impressive advance that we've had over April. But the next area of potential resistance is more likely to be around the 77.50 area. As long as it is holding the sequence of higher reaction lows and the sequence of ranges one above another, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. What everyone is starting to read into the underperformance of the industrials is that we've got a more pronounced global slowdown than people had perhaps first really thought of as possible. The underperformance of the South Korean stock economy, I should say, is certainly also representative of that slowing global economic environment. Well, the KOSPI index was in negative territory in here today, and it is still in the region of the trend mean, and there is still a progression of lower rally highs. So in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment, it's going to have to sustain a move above that level. Then we also had a reasonably weak environment today in China. Well, China is the linchpin in terms of the major sources of potential liquidity for the global economy. Now, this rather sharp pullback, more than 2% in here today, is coming right down to the upper side of the underlying trading range. This is exactly where the market is going to have to rally tomorrow if we're going to see a clear signal that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. China has begun to make fiscal stimulative measures available. They don't appear willing yet to engage in quantitative easing, but that does not mean that fiscal stimulus isn't going to be flowing into the economy. I think that is really quite likely. They probably don't want to have a significant bubbly event again, particularly in view of the kind of move that we had back in 2015. But neither do they want to see the economy contracting, and that's particularly in view of the fact that there are a very significant number of important anniversaries coming due in the second half of this year. Well, the renminbi is weakening from the 6.7 area, and it's right in the region of the trend mean right now. If the Chinese want to stimulate the economy, well, one of the easy ways to do that would be to allow the currency to weaken somewhat, and I do think it's likely that we're going to see additional weakness for the renminbi. And that is one of the things that may arrest the desire of foreign investors to put their money into the country. Therefore, we're going to have to see more stimulative measures from China in order to start to attract that inward flow again. I've been talking for the last few weeks that it was quite likely Wall Street was going to consolidate in the region of its peaks, and I do think that is likely. But over the medium term, I think that that's all we're going to get is a consolidation, because with the big question that we were asking at the end of last year was, where is the additional source of liquidity going to come from? Well, the changes to the way that inflation is being reported by the Federal Reserve is a very clear indication that that's one of the regions where what they're considering, the very clear change in China is another. The fact that the ECB is readying the potential for an additional round of quantitative easing, perhaps towards the end of this year, in order to really help the German economy to start firing again, well, that's an additional source of liquidity. So on the one hand, we can see that the global economy has slowed down. We're definitely seeing that from the Korean market. But the other side of that is, we know what the response of central banks is, because they're already telling us what it's going to be. Well, when we look at the Indian market, it is continuing to pause in the region of its peak. And I think it's quite likely that we are going to see some consolidation there as well. Now, the Japanese yen had weakened through the 112 area yesterday, and then it was in positive territory in here today. So that's a failed downside break below 112 for the yen. And now the bigger question is, how much of this rally from today it is going to sustain. With the dollar strengthening and the yen strengthening and gold holding its own against the background of those reserve currencies strengthening, then what we are starting to see is some additional demand for safe haven type assets. So it's, I think, rather interesting that when we look at the 10-year treasury, it bounced pretty impressively yesterday, and it was reasonably unchanged in here today. This has looked like a reversion to the mean over the course of the pullback since the end of March, this continues to look like an uptrend. And when we think about the potential here, well, the bond market is pricing in the fact that we are at the top of the interest rate cycle. And in fact, that is exactly what the stock market is doing as well. So I think that's one of the most important characteristics out there, that investors have pretty much concluded that we have now got a Powell put. That's the reason why stock markets are in the region of their all-time peaks. Now, the broader question is whether we're going to see some consolidation and whether the central banks of the world are going to deliver that additional liquidity in a timely manner in order to reinvigorate the global economy and really set off a reflation trade. But the other point, of course, is that the continued outperformance of the technology sector, the concentration of returns in a relatively small number of stocks, and the clear outperformance of the cloud sector, well, that's where we see the potential for a momentum move. That when, for example, we look at the cloud computing ETF, it's been one of the clearest outperformers. It's got a very similar pattern to Microsoft, even though Microsoft wouldn't classically have been considered a cloud computing sector. It is very much carving a position for itself in there. Well, this is the clear leadership within this bull market. When you think about the rise of the subscription business model, then that's an additional string of commonality that we can draw between the market's clear outperformers. Well, what this also really helps to highlight is that big bull markets tend to have new business models and new financial models, and that's exactly what we have now with both cloud computing and the subscription business model. And that is where we're likely to see the greatest outperformance and also concentration of assets. This is why it is particularly interesting to pay attention to the mining sector, because it is the cloud computing sector is making headlines. The mining sector is obviously much more attuned to global growth. FTSE 350 mining index was down about 1.5% in here today. It is coming back down to the psychological 20,000 level. There is some scope for additional consolidation, but this is, if we do get a reflation trade, well, then that is going to be potentially quite bullish for the mining sector generally. And so, therefore, this is a rather interesting sector to pay attention to, not least if we do start to see additional sources of liquidity being made available. And I think those are the primary points. What I also found interesting in here today was Tesla. When we think about the share, it's the most shorted share in the market. Investors really are quite bearish, and the market was down in negative territory in here today. There is a clear potential for a company like Tesla to not only disrupt the autonomous vehicle sector, but also to have a go at disrupting insurance. Insurance has classically been one of the most stable and defensive sectors anywhere, and also quite heavily leveraged to interest rates. But it is also incredibly profitable, and not least because it's rife with corruption. Generally speaking, when people think they can claim on their insurance, they go for the most expensive quote. If they had to pay for it themselves, they would pay significantly less. And all of that, the difference between the two quotes is made up in premiums. So there is a clear potential for Tesla to disrupt the insurance market because it knows how fast its drivers are going. It knows how safely they perform. That can be translated into a change in the actuarial tables. It's something similar that Health IQ is doing with fit people and life insurance. And I think that the insurance sector is the most ripe out there for disruption, and it is new technologies that are going to do it. Tesla is going to have to bounce in here through the balance of this week if it is going to confirm support around this $250 area. the one thing that they did not really talk about in their conference call was whether demand was starting to pick up again. And if you're producing cars, demand is obviously a very significant figure. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.